from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
John Capaccio, WGR, joins us in the Sports Bar live from St. John Fisher University. Day 5 of Buffalo Bills training camp. And Sal, this afternoon felt like the first practice where there was really some true opportunity for some players to step up into a role, given the injury to Edwards and Claypool. Talk a little bit about what we saw today out of Cole Bishop, the rookie, and that wide receiver position's heating up. We heard Sean McDermott just heap praise on Tyrell Shavers, which I don't think we've ever heard him do in this kind of form, in this kind of setting. So what's your takeaway from these two opportunities that exist at safety and at wide receiver?
Well, I'll start with safety, and it's just a real shame for Mike Edwards, right? He's a guy that missed all of OTAs recovering from shoulder surgery. Then he missed most of minicamp. I believe, if I remember correctly, he did individual but no teamwork during minicamp, mandatory minicamp, because he couldn't hit. Then he gets back out here, and he's working back first days with the twos. A nice nod to DeMar and how good of a spring he had. Then he's back with the ones. You're like, okay, this is what they're thinking about. And then yesterday he was rotating again, and then I didn't even know he had the injury. I don't think anybody did until Sean McDermott announced it today, week to week, right? Now, look, he's new, so there's an onboarding process here, and you never want to see that. He needs the reps. I'll also say, though, he's played in two systems very similar to this. Won a Super Bowl in Tampa with Todd Bowles, very similar system.
Yeah.
Won a Super Bowl with Steve Spagnuolo in Kansas City, very similar system. So I don't think the Bills are worried about that part, but you still want those reps. In the meantime, DeMar Hamlin, another opportunity for him, and Cole Bishop obviously gets that opportunity. So I would say, guys, that this is going to come down to Hamlin and Bishop really trying to compete for that spot next to Taylor Rapp until Edwards comes back. And whoever gets it, when Edwards comes back, do they keep it? Do they go back to being a backup? Do they move around? The other question here, and I get this from a lot of fans, what about Micah Hyde? What about Justin Simmons? I don't see the Bills doing any of that right now, okay? This is a week-to-week injury. We are not even in a preseason game yet. He could be back next week. That's week-to-week, right? The Bills still have Cam Lewis at safety, Kendall Williamson at safety. They have guys. They're going to have guys out on the field. They're going to have guys practicing. I would not believe they're going to go down that road anytime soon. What I've seen from Cole Bishop is a guy that seems to be fitting in, seems to be fitting right in. He didn't play a ton of zone in college. He did. So they had some exotic schemes, a lot of man-to-man. He was covering tight end. Dalton Kincaid would say that. This is a very heavy zone scheme. The Bills trust you to understand a lot of leverages, where it's coming from, your help is covering, coming from, all that with zone. So I think that's going to be the challenge for him versus a guy like DeMar, who's been here 4 years in this system. He might not be the better athlete, but he knows what he's doing. And he's used to being there. So we'll see where that goes. As far as Tyrell Shavers, I mean, he is. If I had to do a who's making the roster now 53 projection or a depth chart, I think I'm putting him on.
Mm.
Judging by, and you have to, it's not because of what I see. Oh my God, he's wowing. He's at making plays. Because you have to go by what you think they're doing. And he's on the first team right now a lot. Like, he's getting first team reps. So even if I think he sinks, which I don't, I judge what they're doing. And to me, they're putting him in position where it feels like he's on this football team right now, or they're at least giving him every opportunity. Chase Claypool got hurt yesterday. He missed today. That's another opportunity, unfortunately for him, for other guys to step up. But right now, Tyrell Shavers, 6'4", 211, went to Alabama. I think he went to Mississippi, San Diego State. Three different colleges, undrafted in the Bills organization, in the system for the last year on practice squad. And what you said is right. Sean McDermott, very, very praising and saying he knows what we're trying to do. He understands the concepts. He's a professional. That's really high praise.
Yeah. About the rookie, Keon Coleman, here, because you know people ask you about the wide receivers, certainly. I'm impressed just the way he's out there. What are you seeing right now, Sal, today being the first day in pads and seem like he fits the part again? It's only one day here.
Yeah, I haven't seen him look out of place. I'll say that, right? He makes a flash catch every day. Every day there's something you go, whoa, like that catch. Made one today. They're going right to left from us standing here looking inside Growney Stadium, and he kind of had to reach out for it, and then he kind of juggled it. He got it, and he did a somersault. He had the one they tweeted out yesterday that was over Christian Benford's head on the other sideline in the end zone. He makes a flash play every day. I've also seen him make a couple rookie mistakes. He's doing one-on-ones, first or second day. I think it's the first day. Slant pattern, ball hits him right in the hands. He drops it. These things happen, though, right? You just have to fight through them. And then he had a fumble the other day, which, if it wasn't a fumble, it was an incomplete pass and a drop. Yeah. One or the other, it's just not what you want to see. That said, I don't think he's looked out of place. He is traditionally playing with the starters, and he's lining up outside, and I think he's going to have to be a big part of this team, and I think he's looked pretty good.
Just a couple of other wide receivers to ask Sal Capaccio about here. Sal Capaccio, WGR, joining us in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, a couple of offseason acquisitions. One in Curtis Samuel, who I think probably made the catch of camp up to this point. It looked pretty spectacular going up and getting it today in practice. And the other one in MVS, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, to me, to my eyes, and you're watching practice a lot closer than the casual guys are, and certainly than I am. How is he showing up so far in camp? Because I feel like I'm not hearing a lot of MVS talk during camp.
I haven't seen him flash that much, but you know where I have is when they do some red zone periods, and he's a taller guy. What's funny is, though, he's known as the downfield guy, right? But
yeah.
When they go red zone, there's a lot of tall guys. The other day they did a red zone period, everybody was catching a pass. Tyrell Shavers had one, MVS had one, Claypool had one, the running backs had one, but he showed up in that period. He's out there and, you know, trying to fight for a spot. Maybe that's the guy. Maybe there's a guy that falls off. Maybe Shavers jumps him. I agree with you. I think MVS and Chase Claypool, the guys that they added late, haven't really seen the flash yet of them. We'll see. But I also would tell you that those guys are all at different points of their careers, and they're very different in what they're, I think, how the team views them. MVS, to me, is a guy where the team, I don't know if he has to flash. I think they know they need that skill set. He's been around. He's won a Super Bowl. They win two of them, but he's won Super Bowls. I think that he probably has a little more breathing room here, right? Like, remember the year Jamison Crowder got hurt?
Yeah.
And everybody said, oh, my God, he's going to make it. There was never a doubt, I guess. Like, they knew what they had in Jamison Crowder. I think they know what they have in MVS. Now, maybe they know they have something that, but I think that he's probably a guy that has a little more of a little more runway here. I don't think that's the case with Claypool. Claypool, to me, kind of has to flash a little bit, but I do think that that can come in preseason games. Let's see what he's doing against competition. Guys who are really fighting for spots on the other team. We'll put him out there. He can work with, you know, the starting offense, whatever that looks like in preseason. I think that's where he's going to have to make his ground.
Yeah, we're talking to Sal Capaccio, WGR. Of course, maybe it's one of those wide receivers. Maybe it's a running back. But when we saw this the first day, like, whoa, this is different, seeing everybody just kind of wait until the ball is received. Talk about the new kickoff rule. When you see it in person, your thoughts here, Sal, are we overblowing this, or is this going to be something so revolutionary that we're going to, like, be really excited to see this? And your thoughts on who may be the returner back there for Buffalo? What is the competition?
My guess is anybody's, right? I mean, Ty Johnson, but he got hurt today.
Yeah.
Right? Ty Johnson can return kicks. I don't know if you want Daquan Hardy returning kicks. He's more of a punt returner. He's smaller. Here's the question, guys. What do you want in a kick returner now with these new rules? Do you want smaller, shiftier guys? Do you want bigger, thicker guys, like running back types that can, you know, Darrington Evans, right? That would be a good guy. But do you want these stout running backs? Because it's going to be one wave once you're out of that wave. So if you can really get through there and you're a little thicker, I think every team's got to assess that and what they do. As far as watching it, I go back to OTAs and minicamp and kind of watching it a little bit, and it was immediately, and it still is out here. It's just wild to watch a kick in the air and to see everybody standing still.
Yeah.
And nobody's moving until it's caught. You've never seen that, right?
Yeah.
And then they catch it, and they start moving. Now, this is the point where, in the media, we can't really give their strategy of what they're doing necessarily and how they're blocking it. But I will tell you that, to me, they're doing it right in the open public because they're kind of testing, experimenting. They have a plan for what they want to do. But what did Matthew Smiley say yesterday? It's going to evolve every week. You're going to go to preseason and go, oh, wow, look what that team's doing. We got to steal that. Oh, this didn't work what we were doing. Why did we work on it all year? Oh, and then week to week, you're going to change everything up. So it's just wild to me how all this is going to really kind of transform as we go week to week and day by day, really.
Defensively, a couple of players that are coming, looking to bounce back after injuries last season. One, Matt Milano. I'm curious as to what your eyes are seeing. Does he have full confidence in that leg? And then two, you know, Von Miller is the name that everybody's going to be laser focused on because of what the Bills have invested in him and what last season looked like versus what we hope this season looks like. What have your eyes seen with both of those guys so far in camp?
Well, I think Matt Milano has plenty of confidence in his leg, in himself. Listening to Sean McDermott and defensive coordinator Bobby Babich, they both talk about how he's not where he needs to be, but he'll be there. Like, he's still working through it. There was a video making the rounds a few days ago. Matt, you know, he's got his big black sleeve on his leg, and he's kind of, at the end of the play, kind of working his leg out, and he's stepping a little bit, and I think a lot of people interpreted that as something bothering him. I've been watching him closely. He's doing that after almost every play. I think he's testing the leg a little more, like, okay, that felt good. What can I do here? He's kind of almost stretching it out, but in a manner of, okay, like, that's good, and moving it. I don't think there's anything that's set back. Here's what tells me more than anything, though. He's done everything everybody else is doing. Until today when he gave that rest day, which is with the other guys. He's in every rep. He's with the starting defense. He's running around. The other day, he made a play on a little toss pass to Dalton Kincaid. He diagnosed it, and he got there in a hurry, fighting through traffic. There weren't any pads on yet, fighting through traffic, and he got there really quick. Then I see him in coverage on Dawson Knox. It feels like, to me, I'll echo what Sean McDermott said, and I believe him, and I agree with him. He's getting better every day. So we'll see. As far as Von Miller is concerned, I think the test with Von's going to be on the team. They're not going to, you know, cut him. They, again, long runway here. Let's get him to the regular season. I don't see him on the field first, second, and third down all the time. Let's see what he does in games, if he can be even close to what we saw Von Miller pre-injury. I think that's where that's going to have to either show up or not.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We're talking to Sal Capaccio. Earlier today, we had a conversation with Greg Rousseau. He stopped by, and he's somebody, Sal, that against the run, I think he's very, very good. But your thoughts, can he become that sort of guy that you have to kind of game plan for? That's what we're all kind of hoping. What are your thoughts on Rousseau here as we're entering year four?
I don't know if he'll ever be a guy that you're your kingpin pass rusher that you have to game plan for. That's what you're after. I agree with you. But he's good at it, right? He's just not of the elite at it. Him and A.J. Epenesa. You know, the Bills, that what they've kind of done at pass rusher, and they've searched for the next pass rusher, right? That's why they signed Von. That's why they drafted these guys. It's really been about more of the sum than the parts. And 5 sacks, 6 sacks, right? 8 sacks Rousseau a couple years ago. I think he would have probably had double digits if he didn't get hurt a couple years ago, miss a few games. So I don't see him ever being that guy that when defenses go into their game plan on Wednesday and say, we got to block that guy and double team him every play. But when you leave him one-on-one, he's going to make a play once in a while. And he's going to be very good against the run. I agree. I think he's a very good run defender. He's in his fourth year now. They picked up his fifth-year option, so they have him for next year as well. He's still growing. He's such a specimen, right? We know that. So I like what he brings. I think A.J. Epenesa is consistent. A.J. Epenesa has always been an ascending player to me. He should take another step. And he's gotten better every year of his career. I don't think there's any reason to think he won't get any better this time around. You know, and then you have Kingsley Jonathan, who's been on the team for a few years, who's been a part of that rotation. The guy to keep an eye on is Dwayne Smoot. Dwayne Smoot has been working with the ones, and he's been inside and outside. He's listed as defensive end. They moved him inside and outside. I think, remember when they tried last year a lot to move Rousseau inside a little bit more? I think that's Smoot this year. And Smoot, the guy has had 5 to 6 sacks four straight years in a row up until last year when he had a different production, and I think he missed a few games, but that's a guy I think you got to keep an eye on.
Sal, is too much being made of how much dead cap the Bills are carrying this year, second most in the NFL behind only Denver? And I think when you kind of look at the roster and you look at the talent on the roster, there's certainly reason to believe that there's good depth on this roster. But is there the kind of talent that you would expect out of a Bills team that didn't have this kind of dead cap issue that they have going into this year? What would Brandon Bean say to that question, do you think?
Well, I don't know what he would say. I'll tell you what I think.
Tell me.
Well, I Brandon Bean would tell you, hey, they had to make some adjustments and this isn't new. He would say we're very confident, right, in what we have. And
yeah,
I will tell you this. I don't think too much is being made of the dead cap. That's real. You never want that much dead cap, but they're in a situation. I think what's being made too much is of the actual personnel of the players out versus players in and how they form the roster. And this will go back to what I believe Brandon Bean would tell you that I'm in agreement with. As long as you have number 17, you're going to be okay. And then you surround it with, okay, granted, you're without Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. And I love those guys, but let's be honest, they weren't the same last year. Right? Like, what did you get out of them last year? They've been banged up a little bit. They've been a little bit hurt, right? Mitch Moore, significant loss. Connor McGovern can play center, though. He could do. He's a very good athlete. He actually, Connor McGovern was like the highest rated high school center in the country when he came out to go to Penn State. And then he played guard, and he's been there, right? And then you think of the wide receivers. That's the one you think, okay, no Stephon Diggs. But look what we've talked about. I think we all see that they have some guys, right? And they have guys, and they're trying to spread it out. So I think too much is made of the overall roster changes and too many people saying, oh, my God, look at all these guys they lost. I don't think too much is made of the dead money, because that's real stuff and that's money they can't go out and invest, and they are a little bit tight on the cap.
Yeah, we talk about all these positional battles, and ultimately though, if 17 can take his game up to another level, and I'm talking,
that's hard, right?
Well, can he be the MVP of this league? Yeah. I think he can. And actually, if you see the production and like, wait a second, the cast is all different. How is he all doing this? What are your observations of Josh Allen so far? And Sal, it's hot out here. Why is he wearing a hoodie out there?
Well, it's a good question. I think he likes to sweat a little bit. You know, he likes to get his workout in. I'm not really sure. Maybe he's like, remember Preston Brown? Remember the linebacker a few years ago, Preston Brown?
Yeah.
Preston Brown used to wear a hoodie at practice, and he said the reason is because he would tuck like candy in his hoodie, and he would go and he would take.
I remember Bobby Johnson. Remember Bobby Johnson, the line coach, showing up like a psycho wearing a full sweatsuit?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My lookalike, Bobby Johnson.
Trying to lose weight, yeah.
Josh has, to me, looked terrific. One bad half of practice.
Yeah.
Three straight interceptions. And even then was a third down drill. One was just launching it to MVS. One was a bad throw, and then one was a miscommunication with a receiver. Guys, do you ever walk over to the other field during the pre-practice and watch them, the quarterbacks?
Yeah.
The dude does not miss those boxes. They have these little boxes like this big, and they're at this big net, right? These little boxes like this big. I'm doing it on the camera. Hi, everybody. So here, we have these little boxes. They move left, they move right. And as they move left, the coach, Joe Brady or someone, yells, one, and they get hit box one or two or three. Josh doesn't miss. And I noticed it the other day. Talk with Josh Reed, our good buddy. He's like, yeah, he says he went like 6 for 6. Then today I walk over and I see our friends Jenna Cottrell, Mike Catalana, and I go, he doesn't miss. Mike goes, I just said the same thing to her. Like, the other guys are 50-50. Then he goes out here. Man, like, he's been on fire. The first day, like, they just touchdown after touchdown in the red zone, period. So I like that part of it. I don't know what else you asked me about Josh. The hoodie, I know you asked me. Was there something else you asked me about Josh?
Can he take that game?
I agree with you that the guy throws for 30 touchdowns with this cast, he deserves MVP, right? I mean, and they win games. I mean, can he take it to another level? I just think he's already so great. MVP is just a subjective award. He could have won MVP the last 3 years, you know? So to me, I don't know if he could take it to another level. I think that, you know, there's been a lot made about like the leadership component and all that kind of stuff. That's probably where the transformation is coming from. And whether that's people wanting to be a more leader, different leader, him wanting to. I think it's all coinciding with the reason why they've kind of transformed this roster and made it kind of Josh's team, right? I mean, guys, they have one receiver on this team who's caught a pass from Josh in a regular season game. That's Khalil Shakir.
Yeah.
Everybody else, it's like, oh, I'm going to play with Josh Allen? You're going to want to perform for Josh Allen. Josh has never had that in his career. When he was young, he had John Brown and Cole Beasley, and he's new to the league, right? Then he go out and get Stephon Diggs, who's the true alpha male.
That's right.
Right? Josh now is the true alpha male. And whether it's a story of this person wants him to be or that person wants him to be and they want to be, or Josh says, I have to be, I think that, that's the next evolution of him.
Does he have that in his character? And the word I always use is mattable. I don't want him to necessarily be a jerk, but I do want him to get in somebody's face
right.
if they do something wrong. We saw Peyton Manning do it. We certainly saw Brady do it. And it's what takes you from good to great with some of these competitors. We also hear that Josh not only has that dog in him, but he also is a playful guy, that he's going to make jokes with his teammates and have fun. And all of that is fine and good, but does he have that switch where he can be mattable in the moment?
It's a great question. I think we're going to find out, right? I mean, we all remember the Cincinnati Bengals, Stephon Diggs video, and Josh just sitting there, and Stephon Diggs is saying something to him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is there another quarterback who would have stood up and gotten his face? How would that go about? There's a video of Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl talking with, I believe it was Sky Moore, maybe. And literally, like, he was, Sky Moore said, I think it was Sky Moore, and if it's not, I apologize. You could see him say something like, I was open, and Mahomes got mad and ripped into him. Like, you didn't run the right route or whatever. Like, there's a fine line to walk, right? And I wonder if Josh also, isn't his character, yeah, I don't know if character's the word, I think, is it his DNA, though, to be able to do that and still feel like he can be himself? You never want it forced.
Right.
But again, I think that, guys, I think it's calculated. I go back to January, February, March, whatever. I think it is calculated how they have constructed this roster around Josh Allen. And I'm not saying they want to just, hey, we just need to get rid of all these leaders. But it can't be a coincidence that they have really transformed and shifted away from all the leadership to a brand new group coming in, and Allen's the one now. You're the leader. You go do it.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you the question that you don't know the answer to, but hey, a second round pick for Diggs, that, yeah, okay, let's do it. That offer doesn't come. I mean, how long do you think he was on the block there for? Like, if you're saying, like, this was the plan back in January and the transformation, like, what if? I mean, was it a point?
I think that, I think both sides grew apart from each other in one way, shape, or form. Whatever that is, and however it manifested itself, it was more of the relationship had run its course. So, you know, and I'm sure teams talk or whatever, but let's go back to when Joe Brady became offensive coordinator. The last 8 weeks of the season, we all saw it. They were forcing the ball to him at times, right? It was like, we got to get Stephon his touches. Not that he was ever a guy complaining about it, but this goes back to what I said. He's the alpha male. He's the attraction. He's the guy that needs the attention. And not in a negative way necessarily, but there's always something about his presence there. And I think that the way they won games with it in the last 8 weeks in leaning on the run game, leaning on Khalil Shakir, leaning on Dalton Kincaid, probably got them to a place where, like, okay, we need to do that more. And it can't be about one guy, and we want to be able to have this, you know, this group. Plus, guys, he's 30 years old. And the question is, did some of the production, the lack of it, come from the from age and wear and tear? And if that's the case, then you got to move on at some point soon, because that offer is not going to happen right after this year.
Right. Sal Capaccio, WGR, also the host with Matt Bove of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. You can hear that in the free-to-download Odyssey app, and tonight's a special night, is it not?
Yeah, we're going out to Barbill East. Well, we're out here in Rochester. We're going to be out there, 1129 Empire Boulevard. I don't have to tell everybody here the address. You know it. I had to memorize it to remember where I'm going, but I'll be there tonight with Matt. We did it last year. We had a great time. It's going to be even bigger and better this year. So I hope if anybody can come out, you know, just hang out with us. That's all. We're going to be talking football just like this, you and I, and sitting here. And You know, and then we're going to hang out with people afterwards. A lot of our media colleagues will be there from both Buffalo and Rochester coming out. So if you want to meet some people in the Buffalo media, you want to hang out, have some wings, have some drinks, talk some football, talk some life. We're going to be out there tonight. We're planning on taping, recording. We haven't decided if it's going to be live or just like record and then put it out live. Either way, we're going to be there doing it at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, Sal is very accessible. In danger of the quick story here because he's telling me about this. And, you know, it's on Empire Villa Larna. Like, oh, do you need directions? You know where we're going? What is Sal saying? Yeah, I have GPS. I'm the guy
who
still has to like get a post-it note.
Gene was like, he goes, that's right. He goes, I had a Garmin. I left it at home. That's what he said.
A TomTom.
That's right.
Nice, Sal. Thank you for the time. Appreciate it. We'll see you around practice.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sal Capaccio, WGR. It's always game day in Buffalo. You remember the TomTom, right?
Yeah.
GPS version 1.0, the big thing that you mounted.
Yes.
It was like watching a cartoon give you directions to where you needed to go. You still have one of those in your car, Gino? Those were a hot commodity. You had to make sure you tuck it underneath the seat to make sure that nobody was breaking your car.
He's like, yes, Gene, I know where I'm going. Yes, it's not that hard.
It's so good. Happy hour on the way next. We'll get you an update on everything that happened today on the practice field for the Buffalo Bills, day 5 of training camp. And we'll also hear from Buffalo Bills defensive end Greg Rousseau. That's next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.